So here it is, the month of December, third week, approaching the holidays, and we find ourselves in Bloomington with Mayor Hamilton. This is actually our last show of the year, too, because next week, Christmas Day, is on Tuesday, and so we're going to have to miss out with Mayor Greg Goodnight in Kokomo. So we'll look forward to 2019, and we'll talk more about that later, but thank you for having us.
Joe, I'm so glad you're here. Thanks for closing it out with Bloomington, too. A good place to close out the year.
So the hot topic seems to be about parking garages right now. I thought we'd just start with that and kind of get an update and your take on things. So the last I learned, the Trades District is getting a parking facility, but there's still some debate on whether to rebuild or fix the 4th Street garage. Now, last month, you seemed confident that rebuilding was the reasonable decision, but not all the council members agree.
Right.
Have you changed your mind, or where do you lay with this now?
No, I think it's the same from my perspective, that we've got a failing parking garage and it needs to be replaced. There's some debate about whether to replace it right away or to try to patch it up and keep it going for a few more years. I guess, like, if you have a car that's, you know, needing major repairs, when does it become time to replace it? And different people can have different judgments about that. There's also some efficiencies in doing two garages at the same time that make a sense for us. But we'll see how it works out. City Council is going to vote on Wednesday. I think either way, we know 4th Street Garage needs major either replacement or repair, and we'll do what's needed to keep everybody safe and make it usable.
What originally led your decision in terms of pushing for replacing the garage, now that some of the council members still think that it would actually be okay to rebuild? To repair it and fix it. Yeah.
I really depend. We have a team of a dozen or more experts who are really digging into this, from engineers to planners to department heads and others who are looking at this. It's a complex mix of things. Part of the reason, from my perspective, I think that they've recommended to me, this team has recommended to me, that we replace it, is 5 years from now, we're going to have a convention center built around it. We're going to have a much more built-up environment, and then closing a garage is much more painful for everybody if you don't have what we have right now, which is quite a bit of surface lot area right near it to be overflow. So, you know, it's a judgment call. I followed what our experts advised, and I think it's the right thing. But we'll make it work no matter what happens. There are fiscal issues. Some of the money can be used to replace that cannot be used to repair, which is a state law quirk. But the bottom line is this garage, which is 30-plus years old, is not working. And we need to do major replacement of that at some point soon. And my view is it probably makes sense to do it now. But we'll see what happens Wednesday night.
And then the next step for the Trades District parking garage would be where to put it and how it looks, right? Is that kind of the next?
Yeah, both garages, go through a whole design process and plan commission and all that, kind of making sure they fit the environment. The Trades District garage, right, one of the questions is where to put it. But again, our proposal has been to build those at the same time, which saves us a couple $1 million from construction costs if we build them at the same time. So I'm not sure what we would do if we're not replacing them both at the same time, because the costs go up.
Mm-hmm. So last time we talked, the Convention Center Commission was choosing an architect and did Convergence Design from Kansas. What made them stand out among the six others?
Well, it was a very close vote, actually. We had two finalists that were differences of opinions within that group about them, both of whom, actually, all those candidates were really strong, and the final four were all very strong. The group that we ended up with has a lot of experience with convention centers in small markets like us. We're a small national market. They've done a lot of excellent work. We're looking forward to it. They also have Schmidt Associates, which is a local woman-owned architecture firm up in Indianapolis. That's a partnership with them. So we're digging right in. We're going to be, I think, meeting with them soon, first of the year, to bring them back and start the negotiations on a contract. Once we get them on board, then it gets very real, because we're going to start a lot of public engagement, a lot of looking at options and what do we want, and it's going to be very exciting 2019 for the Convention Center.
Yeah. So, and just to confirm, the next step was that the elected officials on the commission had to approve.
And that's done.
And that's done,
that's
too.
That's been done.
So,
yep.
So this is moving forward.
Yep.
Okay. So the city is selling bicentennial bonds for improvement projects. They're in $1,000 and $5,000 increments. I've never heard of this before, and I think there might be even actually some confusion about what the city is offering and how this benefits residents who purchase these bonds. So I was wondering if you could explain that a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really happy the bicentennial bonds is how we're closing out this bicentennial year. And what we're doing is investing $10 million in new infrastructure, basically to pay it forward. So that 20 and 50 years from now, as they look back, they'll say, wow, this is I'm glad they did this at the bicentennial to create some great trails and tree canopy and downtown alleyway activation, all that. So the way we finance it is we commit to pay off $10 million of bonds from our tax revenue. And those bonds are sold to individuals or institutions in state, in the community, around the country. And each of them who buys a bond, if you invest in a bond, you get anywhere from 1 to 15 year life of a bond. It's an investment. It's tax exempt. So I think our bonds are averaging about 3.5%. So instead of putting $1,000 in a CD, you can buy $1,000 for a bond and you get better interest. It's backed by Bloomington and our revenue. So it's a way for an individual who has the capacity to invest in their own community. And so you can do that at $1,000 or $5,000 increments. By the way, our bond rating in the city just went up. We have now a AA rating, which is very unusual among municipalities. We're proud of that. That means the private market out there says Bloomington's doing a really good job fiscally and is a good solid fiscal partner.
So it benefits the resident in two ways, because in some ways they can say, look at what I helped build here in Bloomington, but also in whenever those bonds mature, they can cash those out and would get the interest from that.
So it's like buying any municipal bond, right? You get annual payments of interest, and actually they're always you can sell them too. You might buy a 10-year bond, but you can decide to sell it at year two, and somebody else will buy it. There's a big market for those bonds, but it is a way to invest in your own community in a way that's strong, guaranteed bonds and in good rate and a strong issuer.
And it's early, but have there been takers so far on this?
Yes.
Is it happening?
We actually found out there was, within the first day or two, $1.2 million of purchasers. So we're very happy. If you want them, you should move fast, because these municipal bonds are popular, not just in Bloomington, but around the state and around the country for investors who want to buy them.
I have to ask you about something just launched yesterday. It's a CDFI-friendly Bloomington, and you've been working on this for a while. It's kind of a national funding sources bringing together matching local funds for community needs. Can you explain this a little bit more on how this works? Because this is one of the first in the country, right?
Yes, Joe. This is a little abstract, and there's too many acronyms and abbreviations. But let me try to explain what it is, because I'm very excited about it for our community, for our people. I used to work in the world of community development finance. There's a lot of institutions out there that are kind of like a bank, but they're more progressive and mission focused. And these are loan funds that lend money, but with a particular mission to support affordable housing or community facilities like a daycare or a health clinic, and also small business entrepreneurs. And these entities are around there. We don't have any in Bloomington, these CDFIs, Community Development Financial Institutions. What we just did in Bloomington, and it is the first in the country, is we developed a way to say, you know what, we may not have our own CDFI, but we want to make Bloomington a city where you other institutions can work and lend and support what we do. We raised $2 million from local banks. We put $2 million of public money in that will be $4 million to attract other CDFIs to come into our community. They would do things like, maybe we have a co-op that wants to buy its building and our local bank can't quite finance it. Maybe they can finance half of it. This entity can convince and work with other entities around the country to come in and do the other half. Maybe there's a daycare clinic that wants to expand. They too can't get traditional financing for that. A bank can't do it, can't quite underwrite it. This institution can say, okay, you can do half with a bank, we'll do the other half, and we'll get a CDFI from around the country to come in. One of the really exciting things is, besides that $4 million that we have, Bank of America, the national big bank, which is a very active CDFI supporter, has committed $10 million to anybody who lends in Bloomington. So if you're a Chicago-based loan fund that specializes in financing new grocery stores and they finance that here, Bank of America says, if you lend $500,000 in Bloomington, we'll put $500,000 in your balance sheet at a very low cost to encourage you to do it. So it's a way for Bloomington, it's the first in the country, we think it'll be replicated by some, we hope, we know there's some other cities looking at it, to get national expertise and national money to help us accomplish our local goals of affordable housing, small business growth, and community facilities. That's a mouthful, but that's what we do. And maybe I can give another example. Let's say you're we have an affordable housing project next to Switchyard Park. That's going to be a $1 million project. They maybe can get a bank loan for $400,000 because the land's worth enough, but the bank can't do more than that. They have a gap. That often happens. We in this fund can say, you know, we can put $300,000 in if an entity out of Cincinnati that finances affordable housing can do $300,000. Together, we'll meet that need. The local $1 million project gets done. We lend the money locally. The Cincinnati Bank lends the money. And the Cincinnati Bank, by the way, gets $300,000 from Bank of America for doing their work in Bloomington. So for them, it's like, well, I'm going to go to Bloomington because I can get support to do that. Mm-hmm.
And how does everyone win in that? Because the banks, they're still getting interest rates.
The bank gets its loans and its interest. The CDFIs do what they want to do, which is fill these gaps. And of course, the project gets done. That's the main thing. The project that otherwise wouldn't have gotten done is now able to be done here locally.
And so this that launched Monday, so now it's just kind of wait and see.
So we've got the commitments of the money. We have the nonprofit entity. It's separate from city government. It's nonprofit with a board member mixed of bankers and community folks and public folks. We will be hiring an executive director to help lead this and help make the deal connections happen. And then we'll be looking for deals to happen early next year.
You were at the hospital reuse meeting, is that
I
right?
Was.
That was Monday afternoon. And the main development there are two master project developers are kind of, I guess, kind of like the convention center. They're kind of putting their bid in to say, we want to develop the what will be at some point the former IU Health Hospital site. What did you get from that meeting?
Well, you know, we did a big process with the Urban Land Institute earlier this year that helped us look at the options for this 24 acres that are going to be available in the next couple, 3 years to the community. We're going to buy it. Which is a great opportunity for us. The Urban Land Institute, one of the recommendations was you should get a partnership with a master developer who can help you as a community weigh and balance and evaluate what can be done. Because we can think of 75 things we want to do there, but we got to understand the market. How much would this cost to do choice 17? How much would it cost to do this or that? And the master developer is a key partner to help us evaluate that. They will also help us start what will be a very big public dialogue, thinking about what do we want to see there. This is a new neighborhood. It's right kitty corner to the convention center, close to downtown. Yeah. Bloomington's never
it's
had
huge,
a chance.
Like 25 acres,
24,
is that right?
24 or, acres.
24.
We've never had a chance to redo 24 acres this close to our city downtown. So it's a wonderful opportunity. So a lot of what will be happening in 2019 is public dialogue, imagining what we want through lots of discussion, but the master developer will also help say, okay, well, that'll cost $90 million and the market will pay for $75 million, where's the rest coming from? Or that'll generate $60 million and help us understand the opportunities with us. Frankly, CDFIs will help that too, because there are people around the country who've done this kind of development and they can come in and help us see possibilities we may not see without them.
Mm-hmm. So the next step for that is that will the commission meet and kind of discuss those two proposals and eventually pick one?
The steering committee is an informal advisory committee. Ultimately, the city probably will engage with one of those. We're getting feedback on them and we've got some more questions to ask them. And I expect early next year we'll be identifying who we want to work with and negotiate with them. And then they will, with us as a partner, engage a lot in the kind of fun exercises of thinking, what can we see happen there?
Which is sort of what has happened or is happening with the former Kmart site on the east side too, although that's done through a private developer.
Right, the difference there is that's privately owned. This one we own as a public, will own, and the Redevelopment Commission, and it lets us really drive the process to think about what does Bloomington want there.
And will there be opportunities too for the public to weigh in on the convention center as well?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We got public, get ready. We got a lot of things to, we got the Trades District and the Switchyard Park that are both moving along well with kind of their own plans done. But right in the middle of downtown, we got the convention center and the current hospital site that are going to be major public processes to think about how and what we want to have happen.
You mentioned Switchyard. Is that on project so far, on timeline?
Switchyard is clicking along well.
Yeah.
The trains are running on time, I guess, if you will, down there. So far as I know, we like good weather, and that's going to be a wonderful way to end 2019. I hope we'll be talking about that a year from now, about the new Switchyard Park.
Yeah. I have to ask really quickly, one of the other latest buzz is that the Barnes & Noble closing, but may reopen somewhere else, rumor has it, and that Aldi is going to go in. This was sent to us. Do you have anything on that that you can help fill in the gaps on that, or is it all rumor?
Joe, I will tell you one thing as a mayor, I want to be careful. I do not trade in rumors, and I do not have any information to share about that. I mean, the book business is changing a lot. It's disappointing for a lot of us to have Barnes & Noble close. We do have other independent bookstores in the community that I hope people will remember and work with. But we'll see. The world changes on the way we buy things.
How to ask you. Didn't know. Dave sent an email. He says, thanks for your service to our great city, Mayor Hamilton. He has a question regarding zoning. Given the need to build more housing of all types throughout the city to improve affordability, inclusion, and environmentally sustainable development, could Bloomington follow in Minneapolis' footsteps and update our UDO to allow duplexes and triplexes in all areas currently zoned single-family residential?
It's a great question. Short answer is yes, we could. A lot of we have the zoning being reviewed right now. The Unified Development Ordinance is underway. That was overdue when I came into office, and we've done the comprehensive plan, which you have to do first, and now we're doing the zoning, which hasn't been changed for 16 years or so. It's a big debate, right, in the community. I'm a passionate supporter and fighter for affordable housing. There's no free lunch with affordable housing. There's different ways to do it. You can subsidize it directly. You can increase density to encourage more affordable housing. You can put housing in places where there's nothing right now. But all of those things for our community have costs, and some people weigh them differently. I'm a passionate fighter for and advocate for affordable housing, but that means we do have to figure out, where does it go? Where does the density increase? How do we encourage the financial support? We've raised millions of dollars to support hundreds of new units of affordable housing. It's been one of my most important efforts and successful efforts so far, but we have a lot still to do. So I think the question is going to be debated over the next few months, more public engagement. How do we balance our need for affordable housing with some of the concerns in particular neighborhoods or communities about increased density? We fought hard about accessory dwelling units a year ago. I fought for them. The council approved them in a more constricted way than I wanted. We're starting to see a few of them, but you can't have affordable housing without having more density, new development, and we need to balance all that. And that's what will happen in the zoning process. So that was a long answer to the short answer is yes, we could. And the city needs to debate that kind of thing. Yeah.
So that time of the year, we look back, we head into 2019. Just what's your take on this past year? Maybe if you had three headlines to define your administration here in 2018, what would they be?
Well, gosh, I still have time to get through the holidays to think about all of it. Look, from the very beginning, I've worked very hard to make sure we have a strong economy because we need jobs for people. We need living wages for people. I'm very proud that we've opened up the mill, which is kind of part of the new economy and trying to help our new entrepreneurs and new businesses get a foothold in Bloomington and grow in Bloomington. I'm really proud that we have Cook and Catalent, major private sector employers expanding. So the jobs front is good. Affordable housing has been super important to me. I'm really proud that we've got Beeline Heights, which is opening next to that new economic engine of the Trades District right on Rogers Street. And we've got something going in at Switchyard Park, and we've opened up Crawford 2 and all those things. And then I think the quality of life of seeing Switchyard Park underway, seeing the new trails that we've got going, seeing the bike share that we have, and trying to help people, you know, continue to invest in our transit system and the arts that we have. So jobs, housing, quality of life, you know, I think we've made good progress in all of them, but we've got a lot of work to do. We can't stop. And let me wish everyone a happy holidays, because Bloomington's a beautiful place to be in the holidays. Whether you stay here, whether you visit here, please enjoy the holidays, be safe, and we'll see you all in 2019.